Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi. So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think you would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek.net's Nerd News Network. I'm one of your many hosts, Mike the Birdman Daw, but I'm not alone, rather, as I trek through the week that was, the week that will be, and whatever shall be, will be. I'm joined with...
Mr. Christopher.
And Alex.
And that's right, guys. As we didn't have a show last week, mostly because I was really sick. I actually didn't have a voice for about a day or so. Plus, Alex is still getting unpacked from his apartment.
It's going to take forever. I've just determined that it's just never happening.
I've still got boxes in my apartment from when I moved, and I've been here for 3 years. So it's good an Lord. Ongoing process.
I think we're mostly unpacked here.
This is crap I never use. It's just sitting in a closet.
But other than that, all of us have more or less healed up. Though I was worried we weren't going to have a show this morning because I had a bit of a sore throat, unfortunately. But seems to be doing okay. Lots of hydration today. Actually, wanted to share a very big personal health update. As you guys know, I am going through the weight loss surgery program here in Guelph, Ontario. And I had my first major appointment this past week. And I don't want to give exact numbers, but I'll give you one or two. One I'm particularly proud of. From when I went into the hospital at the beginning of this year, I'm down 80 pounds. 30 in the last couple months. So particularly proud of that accomplishment. So I guess things are moving forward on the weight loss front. Still tons of work to be done. Still lots of stuff to do with diet and exercise and whatnot. But I'm particularly proud of this moment. So I'm going to take this opportunity to take one W, because there's potentially a bunch of L's coming up and a bunch of other victories yet to be earned. But hey, you take the happy moments wherever you can. So that's my good news. And because it's nerd news, not everything we have to share with you is necessarily always good. And this week, well, it's been a rough week if you're a celebrity, that's for goddamn sure. To which we are not. But let's kind of go around the room and see what everybody's been up to. I'm going to start with Alex. What have you been up to the last week or so?
I have been in gaming backlog mode, where, I beat Mario and played a little more in there. I beat the new Sonic game that came out. That's about all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, I haven't heard particularly good things about it.
The best part of the game... Well, there's some fun aspects. The best part of the game was getting the pre-order skins and putting them on my controller, and now my system looks baller. It looks pretty cool. That was the best part.
Nice. I gotta get some customization for my Switch. It's so bland
right now. I have one of those... You know how it doesn't come with the charging grip? I got the other one that does have the charging grip part, and I put the Sonic Forces thing on there, and then my two Joy-Cons, and then I have a case in the Joy-Cons to have extra grip, and it looks pretty cool. I then did some game trades and all that. Now I'm working on the Dot Hack remastered trilogy for the PS4. And then it's like more back catalog stuff to get through. So I've been doing that. Other than that, it was kind of a shitty week with like freezing rain and snow and ugh.
Yeah, it hasn't exactly been an easy week to get outside.
No, so it's a good week to get caught up on games and whatnot. Oh, and I went and saw Thor.
Anyway. Worth it?
Awesome. My favorite of the Marvel Universe right now. About tied with the first Guardians movie for me.
See, I hear people talk that, and I'm thinking, if it's better than Spider-Man Homecoming...
Oh, it is.
That's a tall order. And Homecoming was amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How far these hero movies have come.
I know, so right? Good. From Batman 1989... which was the first serious one, I guess, really, you could really argue, to the goofy period we had in, the late 90s to the mid-aughts.
Yeah.
And then to now.
I would say, people say that it was X-Men that started it, but I'm pretty sure Blade came out a year earlier.
Blade came out in 99.
And it was, 98 or 99.
Or 99, yeah.
Did people really consider that a hero movie? It is.
No,
but it was a comic
book hero that people knew, because remember, he showed up in the Spider-Man cartoon a lot.
It's true. There may be some overlap with the craze of the vampire thing in that same time period, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer being
so
popular.
Yeah, but still, it still started overlap. With Marvel in the logo and everything. So people knew and Wesley Snipes was still really popular at that time. But I would say that was the first one they took serious. Yes, it was a horror film, an action horror film at its heart, but...
It didn't take cheese as its main
thing. They saw that get made, and then they went... Fox went, well, I guess we can do something more serious. And then they went with X-Men.
And
so
then,
it's those two movies that really did it.
Yeah. And then you could argue, I guess Daredevil tried to be, but it wasn't a very good movie, but it tried to play it serious.
Well, all the Fox ones tried to. Well, Fantastic Four 1 didn't really.
It tried to be MCU because it wanted to be family friendly, but it didn't take its source material seriously.
This Thor, I was not a fan of the first two Thor films.
The first one.
They were the weakest in the franchise. And here's, you can have that tied to the first movie being directed by Kenneth Branagh, great director, great actor. But what's he known for?
Wild West.
No,
didn't he do that?
No,
he was just in it.
No, that's Kevin Kline. You're thinking.
Are you? I thought he was the guy in the top hat. IMDb I'm 99% sure.
He might have been. I don't know. I'll have to check. Whatever. But he's known for Shakespeare stuff. So they wanted something a little more Shakespearean, a little more grand, a little more epic, a little more... And it came across as a little boring. And they didn't let Thor be funny or... And then he shows up in The Avengers, and they let him be a little goofy, and people liked it. Second Thor movie comes out, directed by one of the guys, I think it was Alan Taylor... One of the guys who directs a whole ton of episodes of Game of Thrones. What's Game of Thrones known to be? Dark, brooding, muted, more grounded in reality, I guess, for a fantasy show. Well, he makes it all, I think, strips all the color out of the show. And I know...
Except for gray and red.
That movie was so dark, and I mean in theaters, not just dark as in tone. It was, the cinematography was so dark, it was hard to tell what was happening. Hmm. And it just sucked all the life out of the character. Third movie now is directed by a comedy director, one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords, and he directed What We Do in the Shadows, the vampire comedy movie, and this movie is almost silly.
Someone described Thor 3 to me, it's as if the Avengers were playing D&D.
Yeah, there are really silly, almost childlike parts, but it all fits the universe that they're building in them. It almost feels like they ignore the first two Thor movies almost there's elements that exist in it, but this feels much more like it's part of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hmm.
Like as if they are happening at the same, and they are happening, I guess, at the same time
But I think they've realized now that Guardians of the Galaxy has its tone that sets the entire atmosphere of this arc so comparatively campy that they can get away with that and still have it feel like
MCU. Feel looking at the trailers for Black Panther, that's going to be a little more serious.
Yeah, and I feel they're trying to take Black Panther in a direction that they want to make sure that this is a respected movie. It's going to establish its own thing. They want to treat it with care.
Black Panther looks more like Captain America Civil War. Like that tone, that feel, that sort of action movie.
Kind of down, like the dark.
A little more grounded.
To the point.
Because it's not, even though they have, looks like fancy ships, it's not as spacey or high fantasy based. Whereas this one, like, when you guys get a chance to see Thor, it's awesome. I was very happy with it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Same here. Hopefully this week.
But yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Tristan, what about yourself, my friend?
I did not do anything terribly nerdy in the past week. It's kind of a shame. I did my usual standard stuff, played some Blizzard games because I'm a Blizzard fanboy. But most of my week was taken up by doing some official training from the Workplace Safety Prevention Services. They offered a training course in health and safety, so I'm now a certified health and safety joint team member thing person. And because of that training, now pretty much everywhere I look every day for the rest of my life, I will see the hazards in things and not just enjoy them for what they are.
You're like, stop! Safety violation!
I suddenly have more of an appreciation for certain things that you see in everyday life, especially in a workplace, and understand why things are the way they are a lot more. It was actually a lot of fun. I got to meet a whole lot of people from other parts of the province. People were coming in from as far as Fort Erie for this training, so it was good to kind of mingle and see what other people's work experience was like and learn a lot of stuff and be better off for it. And now my resume looks even better, so that was a good spent week.
So some people got bussed in from Fort Erie. They probably got to stay in a nice hotel.
Yeah,
but you got to stay in this rat hole.
Yeah, I got to come home every night and sleep in my own bed, so I'll take it. It was just one town over in good old Kitchener.
Well, it's not so bad, though. You really can't complain.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess now that we've had a chance to kind of walk around the table, see what everybody's been up to. Oh, boy, where do we start this week's Nerd News Network? Well, some of the stories we won't talk about simply because every other news outlet has done it bigger and better than us.
Probably sick of hearing it by now anyway.
Yeah, you're probably sick of hearing about the whole Kevin Spacey Netflix House of Cards thing. How that's going to resolve itself as the series is now on indefinite hiatus. I know season 6 was in production. It was going to be its last anyway, so they say. They're talking about maybe doing a spin-off or something, but I gotta say, that's horrible what Kevin Spacey is alleged to have done, which is terrible because he was one of my favorite actors. I loved him in The Usual Suspects, American Beauty.
I doubt that it's alleged anymore when there's
It's not so much evidence.
It's not just corroborated. Like, there's, like, physical proof of it.
He apologized. There's
physical proof. He admitted all of it. It's not alleged when you admit it, and there's, like, video and audio proof of it happening.
Well, I'm just using the letters that me and Tristan were told. You never convict anybody on air.
You don't want to, well, I'm not convicting him on air. If he says he did it, he did it.
Yeah. And then
the official statement is alleged, but, I mean, it's fairly easy to assume that things have some validity to them at this point.
Yeah. And then that brings us to the next person whose allegations, he's just come out and said, yes, these things happened. And that's comedian Louis C.K., who had his Netflix special canceled. His movie, I Love You, Daddy, will not be released. And his future with FX, his future with Fox, and his future with HBO is now very much up in the air.
Future with HBO, I understand. Future with Fox? Maybe Fox News will be okay with it.
Yeah, which is terrible considering all the things that are going on there.
No, but yeah, it's the circle jerking. I'm not trying to make light of it all. I'm just saying there's a lot happening right now.
Yeah, it has been a bad week to be famous.
It's because of Spacey's incident, it's kind of cascaded into a much larger issue. People feel emboldened to come out and bring out their own allegations against other celebrities.
It's a trickle-down effect when you think about it. Who do you go after first? Like, not go after... I'm not saying there's an agenda. I'm saying if you go after somebody who is in charge, somebody who's a movie executive, somebody who's in charge of... One of the major studios in Hollywood. Like, we're talking top tier. Like, not somebody, let's say, at Disney, but we're talking just below that. The mini majors.
Mm-hmm.
And the big majors, they're so big and have such big corporate culture. I would personally doubt that these sorts of things happen at that level of a company. But when you have somebody like a Weinstein, who is the major driving force in his entire company, it's not like his company's not run by committee. It was run by him and his brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They go after him, and if it's proven that you can take him down and that you're not going to get blackballed and your career's not over and you're not going to get ruined, and it's proven now that you can go after him and you can win and you can prove it and whatnot, when you take him down, it's a trickle-down effect. Well, if we can get him, we can surely get Kevin. And we can surely get this person back. And we can actually prove it and not have fear of reprisal because, look it, more powerful people than him have fallen now. So now there's not the fear of keeping hush-hush about it.
Well, and I'm glad glad maybe isn't the right word, but the fact that people are coming forward, the fact that there are these allegations or abuse, they are feeling emboldened to step up, emboldened to say, hey, something
happened.
There's
no fear of reprisal because it's not like, well, if Weinstein's gone, well, then if they who would they have complained to on a set with Spacey? Well, whoever the producer was. Well, the producer would have been somebody like Weinstein.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they know that they're protected, that they're not going to be ruined by it.
One of the people who stepped up during all this was Kevin Smith, who said, I profited from this guy, and this dude's a scumbag.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to donate the residuals from my movies to, I think it was like Women's Rights or Women's Activism or something.
It's Women's Shelters, Battered Women's Shelters.
Something like that, yeah.
I think that's what it was. I'm almost positive, because I know he does a lot of donations for them, too.
Yeah.
And then he's going to also give... Because he knows that the money from the movies that he did for him are going to get less and less because people just won't buy them out of protest or watch them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knows, and he was crying and everything because obviously this is a huge part of his career and life. He invested in it.
Weinstein gave him a start.
He's going to give $2,000 a month regardless. If the money, if the residuals were only like 10 bucks a month, he would give that as well. But he's going to give like $2,000 a month every month for the rest of his life. Instead of his pocket.
And that's a good guy to really stand up and do something like
he doesn't,
that.
He doesn't have to do that. He truly...
He wants to.
He's a director, love him or hate him, or if you, a lot of people think that his you know, his good work's behind him and everything. The guy does everything with his heart.
He's a good ambassador in a lot of ways, I think, for the nerd community.
Yeah,
despite everything.
He shows his passion, and he's not afraid to chase a dream and just do a thing.
Yeah.
He gets an idea, and he'll run with it. He'll just go and do it.
He's afforded the play. Like, the thing is, I think what he's nervous about, what he was upset about and crying and everything is... His entire career is based on what he did at Miramax with the Weinstein Company. He has the freedom now to make these $1 million movies, these cheap movies that he wants to do, Walruses and Gingerbread Men and whatever other crap he wants to make. He can do whatever he wants now with that budget in mind and never have to worry about other investors. He can do it himself or get just enough funding through crowdfunding, through his other sources to do it. But he would never have been at this level now had he not done those first two movies with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels like he's tainted, and I imagine there's a lot of other filmmakers that are bigger than that that are in the same situation, but they're afraid to say anything still.
One of the other allegations that came out over the last couple of days, and this one really surprised me, was leveled against Star Trek icon George Takei, how he groped a male model back in the early 80s. And there's some corroborating evidence about it, how he was talking on Howard Stern's show about something similar happening.
There's a lot more context that needs to be in this. When you're talking late 70s, early 80s, you're also talking like...
40 years ago.
You're talking the Studio 54 stuff. People were just doing a lot of cocaine, grabbing whoever they want. Like, there's literally a different culture. So I'd have to know the context of it.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, the model wasn't feeling well, and George molested him at the time. He had his pants off, and... He was telling the model to relax, don't worry, you want this. And the guy's like, no, I don't, I'm breaking up with my boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, so we'd have to know, again, we'd have to know the exact context of it. And to the same extent, I'm willing to bet more and more of that sort of thing was happening more and more often the farther back in time we go.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to the 1930s and 40s. They founded their entire industry around getting what they wanted, having supreme power.
And it didn't matter how you got that.
As much of an issue as this is of sexual deviancy, it's almost a bigger issue of power over people and control. Mm. And again, I need to see context of it. I'm not judging one person over the other, but the farther back in time we go, the more I go, it's sort of part of the culture that was there.
That's just the way things worked back then.
Like, we're not talking entertainment. This is like
every industry.
This is like, oh, you know, lady wants to be a secretary at a place. She's got to have sex with that boss to get a promotion.
Yeah, it doesn't make it right. It just
that was just what happened to a vast majority of people in that.
Yeah, because like I even remember my like dad coming home and making offhanded comments about how the secretary was sleeping with the boss or something like that.
And that was just it wasn't just people making it up or bullshitting. It just happened all the time. The culture has changed more as we have a generational change of more and more people.
Becoming more aware of this.
Well, and more women getting into positions of power themselves.
Yeah.
And we're at a point now where I think people just thought it didn't happen anymore.
Maybe we're at that cultural crossstone where maybe we'll see this stuff eventually phase out and
I don't
hopefully
think it,
go away.
It will never completely go away because people are people.
But maybe minimized.
And yeah, it's. I think what has to happen is more transparency. It's obviously, this is an outshoot of with the social justice warrior stuff happening now. There's good aspects like uncovering this. There's bad aspects of how far do you take it to the point. You take it to a point where you can't make a comment to anybody. Like, oh, you look good today. At what point is it inappropriate?
And like that's, I'm kind of with you on this person. Like, how do you say you look pretty today, or you look nice.
Oh, wow, that, you know, you have a nice dress. Or point is it, oh, you're making unwanted sexual advances. Am I not allowed to comment on the world?
I just thought you looked pretty, that's all.
It's not an assault.
Exactly. In addition, there's all this potential now for false accusations to just run wild.
And that's why I'm getting
because
the thing
of court of public opinion.
And that's why, like, I'm more willing to jump onto the Kevin Spacey thing versus George Takei, because that's happening now. This was happening on the set now with proof.
No, the thing with Kevin Spacey happened in the 80s.
No, it's happening on the set of House of Cards. Yes, that's what's in the news.
Oh, well,
He was sexually abusing people on the set now.
Now.
And Netflix found out. They did an investigation and they imported it. And people were doing it now.
I thought you meant about how he was alleged in 1986 on Broadway.
That's one of an entire
career. But that's the one
career.
That broke it.
They did an investigation. It's an entire career based on this, where it was happening as of this year. So that's why he had to admit it, because there's a statute of limitations on these things. And now he's got to be going into crazy panic mode based on if something happens now. You're within the 4-year or whatever limit it is for filing rape reports. So it depends on what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix found misconduct on the set. So this was coming out one way or another. So there's that George Takei's thing of 35 years ago or 37 years ago, whatever it is. Can it be corroborated?
With the Howard Stern audio somewhat.
Yeah, it sets a character for that, and it could be in his character to do so, but that's not necessarily enough proof to say that he would go and do something that severe.
And to an extent as well, I do believe everybody's entitled to a bad day where they make a mistake. The mistake doesn't necessarily mean rape or anything like that.
No.
But you know what I'm saying? A mistake could be, I drank too much and I patted the girl on the butt.
Yeah, degree has this event happened?
Yeah.
What's the context of what exactly
everybody's
going
acting,
on that day?
Everybody's acting that it's cut and dry, and that it seems like you're damned for doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, even looking back at all this stuff, I kind of wonder if I've done some inappropriate things in the past.
I'm going to assume if you were in high school and you drank too much at a party, you said or did some inappropriate things that could be twisted around against you if you had a camera on you.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but there was one thing I read, and I wish I could remember precisely what it was, but the gist of it was, just because I was a bad person once doesn't mean I can't change.
Correct.
If I'm willing to learn from the mistake, to be genuinely sorry and remorseful, to make that promise to be a better person.
And that's my thing. For all we know, George Takei could have done that and then to himself, not went public, but went, no, this is not me. I shouldn't do this. And never did it ever again.
Yeah.
And then exactly, at what point do you damn them? With the Kevin Spacey, this is apparently a career of this.
Yeah, he's not sorry.
No.
Kevin
Spacey is sorry, and Harvey Weinstein are sorry people found out.
Yeah, sorry he got caught.
That's a difference.
Whereas Takei has been a monument and a leader for gay rights and everything for decades.
So what you do in a momentary lapse of reasoning, as it's not forgettable, it's forgivable.
I mean,
you can forgive somebody for making a mistake.
I guess the bottom line is, and this is going to be my own way of saying it, don't be a piece of shit.
Well, that's the thing. You don't, you know, hopefully you just never get put yourself in a situation where you make a bad choice like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, don't be a bad guy.
But at the same time, don't damn somebody before you have all the evidence, before you weigh all the options.
And that's the problem with social media today, with Twitter, Facebook, news travels like that.
And it is so easy to speculate and then have that speculation spread right alongside that news. And all of a sudden people take what wild speculation equivalent to fact, and it just explodes.
From yeah, I mean, hell, you can look at our the politics of today. You look at sites like, I don't know, InfoWars and Breitbart taking small pieces of news, be they true or not, and twisting them to something else.
Because they're not; those aren't news sites. Those are
opinion.
No, they're not even opinion. They're selling a product. Those people are taking news, or a snippet of news, or making what they think is news into a product that they're selling to people that already think that way. They're not telling you anything new or anything different, or even telling you the truth. They're not even purporting. If they purported that what they tell you is the only truth out there,
yeah,
they would be taken to court and sued and be shut out of business, because they're not. They're producing a product, and if you read a lot of their websites, their term service, they're producing the product. They're not producing the news.
Yeah.
Because if they were the news, they would be registered as a news outlet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I guess my point is, don't be a piece of shit. Try to be a good person.
Yeah.
But if you make a mistake, own up to it.
Absolutely.
Because
don't make a career out of that mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't make a career out of it.
Family Guy's episode this week, which usually they're hit or miss the last few seasons.
Yeah.
Was all about this social media going crazy over damning somebody over one thing. Brian goes on Twitter, and what is he goes to the movies, and he walks up, takes a picture of the movie poster for Ride Along 3, which doesn't exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart movie. And he's like, going to see, you know, Ride Along 3. Ha ha ha, just kidding. I'm not black and I went to college. Hashtag Baywatch. And he goes in to see Baywatch and tweets it. And then he leaves, and there's mobs there trying to kill him and his family because he's a racist because he made one comment, and they shun the entire family. They throw rocks at him, try to kill him. And at the end of the episode, he's living on his own, so that's to be continued.
Wow.
So,
and I can easily think of
because
things
made,
that can be taken out of context like that.
Well, because he chuckled. He made one racial joke, and then the world now is calling for his execution. And that's what it feels like they're doing a lot of times with these things.
It doesn't take much. All it takes is one, the wrong thing to go viral. The wrong thing to get that internet heat. Like, it doesn't take much. Like,
And anybody that listens when I'm talking, I welcome heat. I don't care. Personally, I don't care. In some cases. I draw the line when somebody's trying to threaten you. Like, they're taking a joke out of context or in context, and their solution to that is,
violence.
I'm going to target you, and either through psychological or physical, and try to inflict pain. That's no.
Yeah, that's no. Not no. Normal.
That's unacceptable. It's one thing. I like to razz people, or I'll make a joke here and there, but it's never in something harmful. But there's actual serious harm happening now with people online.
Like, yeah, we actually touched upon this a couple of weeks ago. Talking about online security and cyberbullying and people getting doxxed and whatnot. Let me tell you, this is not the online world I imagined 20 years ago when we were all hanging out in the AOL chat rooms and the Yahoo Messenger groups or even Usenet.
Back then, the worst power you had to worry about was a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like when they had the Catch a Predator stuff. That was what people thought of in chat rooms. They didn't think about people in chat rooms finding out your home information and coming after you, putting in bomb threats, killing you. Erasing your identity. Like, these were science fiction. Now they're fact.
Yeah,
there's
such
a thick veil of anonymity behind every interaction you had online. You had your own separate persona, and there was no way that you were ever going to be linked with that, so you felt safe and secure in that anonymity. You could do whatever the hell you want, and no one would ever know it was you. It's not the case anymore. Everything's always traceable.
Yeah, because now even Twitter and Facebook can be weaponized. Websites like 4chan and whatever else can be weaponized against or for.
And here's the thing. They still websites like 4chan still serve their purpose in that there's some social good that can come from that. Like, they can uncover horrible people.
Yeah.
That maybe by other means either the government couldn't figure out or couldn't do themselves or...
Didn't want to.
Or it's almost a legal loophole where they find evidence that's provided to them by somebody else who obtained it illegally. But as long as the police didn't obtain it illegally, it doesn't matter.
Like, I remember when they when 4chan caught those people that were throwing animals into a river.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then they reported it to, the authorities, and that's fine. Or they doxed them, got their information. That serves a social purpose. But then it's like, hey, some teenager said something stupid on there. Let's troll her and get her to kill herself.
Like Amanda Todd from Vancouver.
That sort of thing.
Who drank the bleach, yeah.
So it's like... Many times there's like people call for shutting down those websites. They'll just pop up somewhere else.
Well, someone
under some other name. But again, it makes me have difficult position to think about them because there is some good. And so the good that comes from sites like that is almost outweighs the bad in some ways.
Well, someone had mentioned this to me, and I don't want to mention names as to who mentioned it to me. When we throw things back to the Kevin Spacey thing, right?
Yeah.
He may never work again.
No.
But he's made a career out of being a prick. Let's get this established.
Yeah.
Someone had made an offhanded comment to me, oh, that guy's going to kill himself. That's kind of a possibility when you really think about it. Because you look at all the horrible... Like you said, some people can be driven to suicide.
Yeah. It's completely believable because... think about it. If you're in Hollywood, and you're an actor and you've been in there that long and you're that into things, you're into your image that you portray to the world. And if he's grown up, he's done all these horrible things.
Yeah.
But his entire career, he's been lauded and approved of and people love him and now people hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hate him. I'd be surprised if people don't start spitting on him, throwing things at him in public.
I wonder if his address has been doxed yet.
I would be surprised if he hasn't fled from his residences and gone somewhere else, because like there are crazy fans.
Oh yeah,
that will feel so betrayed by him that they'll want to attack him.
Yeah,
and it's not me putting it out there to the internet to do this. Is there are people when you're that big of a celebrity that will do that?
Yeah,
there are some crazy people that just obsess over something.
So if it's not that,
no end.
And there's and a lot of those actors are so insecure themselves. He is now viewed as the biggest monster in Hollywood, bigger than Weinstein,
mm-hmm.
for what he's been doing. So I wouldn't put it past somebody like that. He's going to have to be on a watch. Like, people are going to have to watch him and make sure he doesn't harm himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times people like that won't want to face the music. If he gets indicted and has to go to court over it, they're going to have a watch on him.
Which, yeah, I mean, what he did was a horrible thing, but you don't deserve to die, right?
Well, you don't, in my sense, you don't get to take the easy way out.
Yeah, justice must be served.
In that case, people are like, oh, it's the coward's way. It is a coward's way because in this case... You have to atone or you have to make not amends, but you have to come out and you're going to have to face what you've done.
Yeah, you need to be held accountable for the crimes that you commit against your fellow man.
And
yeah.
And I wouldn't put it past that. That's something you're going to want to have to watch the news. There's going to be more developing about him, for sure.
Wow, I didn't expect this show to get so serious.
Well, but here's the thing. It's been a heavy news, like the last couple of weeks.
It's been a heavy news cycle.
It's been really, you know, if it's not presidential related in the States, it's what's happening in Hollywood.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good news happening anywhere in the world right now. Everything's just kind of been negative or surprising in a way that makes you feel like everything's changed for the worse.
Well, I can say something media related that's good. I can switch to a different news story. There's that, what's that service called that we were looking up that's going to have a whole bunch of Canadian classic family and children's programming available to stream?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it. But
it's got CBC, all the major Canadian producers.
Encore.
Encore? That's
Encore,
what it was.
I think so.
So basically think Netflix or YouTube for Canadian programming. Everything from like Mr. Dress-Up and Today's Special and kids shows and all the way to like dramas, like you get like The Beachcombers or all these shows that
there's like Ready or Not on there. I think I don't know whether Hilarious House of Frighten signs on.
Oh,
there.
It is, and Alex is very happy. I don't know how they're going to do it with the music rights to that show though, because every episode had a different popular song on it. But who knows? But I thought that Crave TV was going to get something like that, but it appears that it's not.
Welcome to YouTube, and I'm okay with this.
Yes.
All right.
So now I don't know if it's going to be a premium thing where we can't watch it without a paywall, but if you were going to launch YouTube Red in Canada, that's what you'd want to launch it with.
Or like YouTube Television or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's what you mean.
Because like in the States, you pay for Red, you get, not only do you get no commercials, you have exclusive channels you can watch that are content created and curated.
Yeah, because I subscribe to a few YouTube channels, but obviously nothing YouTube Red.
Because we can't get it in Canada at all.
Because I subscribe to all the YouTube gaming stuff.
Like there are people out there that, you know, try to use VPNs or things to access it. Whatever algorithm they're using, you can't watch any of that content. You can't stream it. You can't download it. You can't do anything. They've got a couple TV shows that they're producing as well. YouTube Red has...
They used to have the PewDiePie show, but that got canceled.
No, I mean real TV. And come at me, people, that think that PewDiePie is real TV. I'm talking an actual... We're talking
produced drama or something.
Yeah, we're talking like a show that costs as much as he makes in a year for one episode sort of thing.
Yeah, real production values is more than one person.
They've got two. They've got one with... Is it Lily Tomlin or somebody? Somebody else? Somebody's doing something. There's a sitcom coming out. No, it's not Lily Tomlin. It's what's her name from Cheers? Pullman. Yes, she's on a show with another girl, and it's a sitcom. I can't remember what. It's like about a grandma and a granddaughter. But the other one is they're doing a. I think it's High School Musical or Step Up, one of those two. I think it's maybe Step Up. What was the one that
Bring It On?
That Channing Tatum was in.
Step Up, I think.
Step Up. They're doing a live version of that TV show, but like as a scripted show. So everybody's getting the script again. But if they did something like that and had, you know, classic TV content, I'm done. I'm watching that. So like that's. I'm just happy that some of those old shows are going to be preserved.
I'm looking forward to watching Ready or Not.
Ready or...
Which was a global television show up here in Canada, starring one of the girls from Andromeda.
The other girl from Ready or Not looks like my roommate's older sister. Legitimate. The
Busy or whatever?
Yeah.
And that's a little slice of Canadiana for you as we get the hell out of this heavy topic for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, what shows would you like to see on it?
Canadian shows only?
Canadian, well, because it's only Canadian content.
The show where the kids clap their hands above their head in the motor cars. Bumper Stumpers?
No, Bumper Stumpers
was...
That was
a phenomenal show. Bumper Stumpers, game show.
That's the game show where you took anagrams. And
Supermarket Sweep. I want that.
That's amazing.
The car one, is that...
Street
Kids? Kid Street?
Or something like that. Kiddio. I want Kiddio back.
Kiddio. Kids Can Rock. The Kiss knockoff show?
Yeah, I love
kids
that.
Kids Can Rock. And, you know, I put one of their songs in there before. Kids Can
I love
Rock
that
and Roll. Camp Caribou's are.
Yep, it does say Camp
All
Camp
the stuff
Caribou.
Produced in Kitchener is going to be on there, like Romper Room.
Let's say Romper Room.
What was it? There was all those puppet shows, like Eureka's Castle and stuff. And
no, those are Nickelodeon.
Were they?
Yeah, because I used to watch them on
Nick. Canadian, though, wasn't it?
I think so.
So you got Bookmice.
Today's Special.
Today's Special.
If I could pick one show, and this would be really hard to do, but it would be a great piece of sci-fi and pop cultural archival footage. Rick Green's Commander Rick, Prisoners of Gravity. Because that show had so many interviews that...
Now, is that... That's not the one with what's her name from Friends in it, right?
No. That's Rick Green, the guy from the Red Green Show.
Prisoners
Bill
of Gravity.
Yeah, and he would interview different people.
Oh, was that on Space?
No, yes, it was on Space for a while, but it was on TVO.
Okay, so was it the one that was similar to like what was it that was it YTV that had Anti-Gravity Room? Where it was hosted by the PJs and it was like interviews with tech and stuff?
Kind of, but it looked a lot more retro. They'd interview people like Frank Herbert from Dune. They'd talk to the guy that wrote Watchmen, stuff like that. And they'd talk to different scientists. They'd talk to Professor Stephen Hawking.
Okay, that would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think other stuff. There's a lot of lost, like, or forgotten TV shows from the mostly the 70s and 80s in Canada that were dramas or were used as ideas for other shows.
The Complete Train 48.
It's Complete Train 48. The Train 48's coming back.
Oh my God.
That I don't know if you ever watched Train 48, but it was the the soap opera of everybody getting on the train, like the GO train. I guess they didn't call it the GO train, but it was the commuter train, I think between Burlington and some other part, Toronto. And it was just the different people after it would start with the what their beginning of their day was and their end of their day. And then it was like the dealing with their dramas and just people sitting in that train car. And they ran it every day. It was like the only soap opera in Canada that ever got any traction because it was an interesting concept. And it was dirt cheap to produce because they all had one set. They never did anything else. They would just have the cameras going up and down the aisles talking to the people and seeing their lives.
That actually does seem like an idea that would translate well today as well. So.
And a lot of the people on it were not traditional soap opera stars, like, you know, that went to school for or were in soap operas. They were stand-up comedians and improv people. So half the dialogue, they have a concept, and the dialogue would be sort of made up on the fly.
I'd like to know. I want to say this. I want to say, is there a Complete Red Green available?
I think there is that, and that'll be. I think that's going to be in the package. Red Green would be great. There was a show called Seeing Things that my parents were huge fans of. Basically, the Dead Zone is Seeing Things. You know the guy in Scanners whose head blows up.
Yes.
That guy was the star of the show, and he sees things that before they're going to happen. He works in a newspaper, and he tries to see.
I think he showed me, like,
it's cheesy,
the intro.
It's the intro, but it's more like a drama. And there was a show called, Secret Service or some sort of special name. I'll find it later, starring Christopher Plummer. It was basically the A-Team, but in Canada.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it was ran for 3 or 4 seasons. And it was like, you know, 60-some episodes. Or TNT, the Mr. T show that was a Canadian show. Where he was working with a lady, and he was an enforcer, and she was a lawyer, and they solved...
Two words, man, that this show or this channel needs to get. Danger Bay. Because that show was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Danger Bay.
I'm sure you Americans have no idea what the fuck we are talking about.
They might
get
Danger Bay. Danger Bay, the family show that has a theme song almost identical to Magnum P.I.
But is badass.
It always aired back-to-back with Flipper. The 90s Flipper.
It really did. And
Hobo. And Hobo's going to be on it. Littlest Hobo.
Yep, I saw that. Starring in London.
That gave me a huge boner. Not for the dog, just for the fact that it is.
For the dog. I certainly fucking hope not.
Littlest Hobo. I'm trying to think of other... And I think it has to be shows that were either co-produced, but mostly Canadian. Like, I don't think we're going to see Highlander on there.
No, probably.
Because even though it was produced here, it wasn't for... Well, it might have... No.
It aired a lot in the States.
It was a syndicated one in the States, so it has to be... But we might get, like, the Canadian knockoff shows. Not knockoff, but, like, remember the Sinbad TV show that ran a couple seasons?
That show was awesome!
Remember the Conan one that aired? That was the same deal. Maybe the Robin Hood one. Remember the New Adventures of Robin Hood? Maybe Queen of Swords. All the ones that weren't made by that New Zealand production crew. What else would there
that
be?
That reminds me. I forget this right this exact moment after we're off the air. I got a package this week.
Yeah.
And it was basically, it was a Canadian author, and it was a Canadian Conan, but it was a woman. This week, I just got it in the mail.
How is it a DVD?
No, it was like a comic book. I think it was called by Crom or something. I'm going to have to take a look through my mail
pile. Okay, because I was going to say...
But that just reminded me of that.
I was trying to think...
I'll have to Blair find it.
Like, there was... I'm trying to think what other shows there would be that would be purely Canadian. Are You Afraid of the Dark is part of the package.
Yep. And they're actually... There's actually a major Hollywood reboot involved for that.
Well,
right
I don't
now.
Think Goosebumps can be because that was made for Nickelodeon, even though...
Fox.
Was it Fox?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking.
Because I used to watch that a lot.
They might have rebroadcast. I know that a lot of those episodes were like filmed at my uncle's house. No, like there's one episode. There's a few of them, but he lives in Etobicoke, and that's where they, you know, surprise, surprise. It's supposed to be the States, but no, it's always old part of Toronto. And they filmed an episode where a girl got, it was like a monkey's paw one, where she got a few wishes from a witch lady, and there's like, there's a bird lady that gives her wishes, and then she wishes to be like the best athlete, and the best athlete is because everybody else gets really bad and sick, that sort of thing.
Okay.
She wishes to be smarter than everybody else. Everybody else gets dumb, that sort of thing. Well, her house is my uncle's house, and they set up the crew and everything on the front lawn. Like, that area of Toronto had a lot of TV shows and stuff made there. Like, the movie Carrie was filmed there, the new Carrie.
Yeah.
But, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark was completely Canadian first, and then they sold it to... That was the Nickelodeon one. They picked that up from us.
Yes.
Are You Afraid of the Dark would be great. There's one that I thought was Canadian that was, like, Erie, Indiana, but it wasn't. It's actually Australian.
It was like Round the Twist?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
It blew my mind when I heard the theme song recently.
Was Ghost Rider Canadian?
Oh,
I'm thinking Nickelodeon. Maybe Canadian? Maybe. But perhaps. I'm not entirely... Breaker High is one. You could get like Ryan Gosling in there.
Breaker High, Student Bodies. They actually just had a 20th
Radioactive was another one that was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's Sweet Valley High was Saban, so that wouldn't be there.
No, Ghost Rider is an American television series.
Damn.
Okay, yeah.
I always thought that show was cool, though.
But there's plenty. There's so many. There's almost too many to list of you know, what would be there. A lot of children's programming, a lot of Canadian children's programming was great, because we had a lot of puppet-based shows that were... The big one is Mr. Dress-Up's getting in there. The whole thing.
Oh, of course.
That's going to be
everything's
awesome.
Basically, everything CBC produced, everything TVO, half of what YTV produced that isn't a co-production with the States. And then, I guess, whatever CTV, whatever the global and every networks. I want SCTV on there. And it is so hard to find the last two seasons of SCTV when they... Or I think it was season 5 and 6 when they went on the Super Channel, or whatever the pay-per-view channel used to be in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get those episodes when they... This doesn't exist. Like, you can get VHS copies online, bootleg, that look like garbage.
But there's no official DVD release.
There's no official DVD release, and they haven't been rebroadcast, as far as I can tell, ever. Since they aired in the 80s. And that would be something that would be great to have, because it's always been my favorite sketch show of all time. So, yeah. So they're happy news. Lots of stuff. Lots of possibilities with this.
Speaking of more happy news, I guess, to kind of continue to lighten things up. So this past week, NetherRealm Studios announced the third fighter pack for Injustice 2, which is the DC fighting game where Batman and Superman are all fighting against Brainiac trying to take over the planet. Well, in this new pack, you get the Enchantress from DC's Suicide Squad movie, or she's also just a DC bad guy. You also get the Atom from Legends of Tomorrow, but not the same costume. But you also get four other potential characters. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, we don't know how they're going to play, because NetherRealm, I'm kind of imagining they'll just be palette swaps with the different headbands and different weapons. So there'll be, in essence, four different characters, but they'll share a similar move set. Like, their special moves may be the same, but instead of a katana, it's Mikey's nunchucks or Donnie's bow or whatever. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping their super move is them throwing them into the Technodrome or something, which would be fucking awesome. But yeah, I'm super excited for this, because it's only the third pack. The last pack had Raiden in it, Black Manta, and Hellboy. And then the Atom comes out, I think, on the 23rd or the 12th of December, I think, if not a little bit sooner. So the Ninja Turtles should be out probably early next year. There's a fan petition going around right now. I'm so hoping this happens, because there was a crossover with Boom Studios. Justice League and Power Rangers. Put the Power Rangers in there. All they are is a palette swap. Give them a few different moves here and there. You don't even need to remodel them like Ninja Turtles. Just palette swap them. They're basically like Sub-Zero and Scorpion anyway. I'm super excited for this. Like, I'm retarded excited, because I haven't picked up Injustice in like a month. And it's not because it's not a good game. I'm just not very good at it. I was way better at the first one. This one, I get my ass kicked on a continual basis. But I don't know. I mean, in the Injustice fighting game, what do you guys think? If you could add three new characters into it, who would you add? Because now that you've realized the world has opened up to you.
Ernest P. Worrell. But when he has his electrical powers from Ernest Goes to Jail. Ernest P. Worrell, the baby from Dinosaurs, and he has a frying pan.
I hate you. God, I hate you.
And let me think. Maybe one of the creepy little puppet clowns that used to come down in the Uncle Bobby show. Very, very, very Canadian. Look up the Uncle Bobby show. Terrifying, whatever you can find on YouTube. Terrifying children.
To hopefully a more serious answer. What do you
okay,
got?
More, okay, you want more serious answer?
What do you got?
Who would I like in it? I would almost want... Because it's open to anybody?
It's open to pretty much anybody because they've had Freddy Krueger and they've had Kratos.
Okay, I want Megatron. G1 Megatron.
Okay.
But you need to have a robot with a gun in it. G1 Megatron, I would then also go with... No, actually, I'll take him out. I would go with Ultraman.
Okay.
Because it fits into the Sentai sort of thing. Like an Ultraman, so he can grow and do crazy stuff or whatever. I would then go with... Because I'm starting to think it's supposed to be M-rated, right? Because it's an M-rated game.
Yeah, so you can go to horror movies.
So I can go to horror movies. I'm going to scratch that again. RoboCop.
That's a good pick.
RoboCop instead of Ultraman, because just I like RoboCop. That idea.
Hmm.
Either a RoboCop or a Terminator.
That'd be cool.
One of those two, or maybe both.
Yeah, because why not? Because ultimately they had Alien and Predator in Mortal Kombat 10.
Yeah, as my third choice, I would go with Toxie from the Toxic Avenger.
And you know what? I bet you Lloyd Kaufman would be in a... He'd run down the DC.
I bet you Lloyd Kaufman would go... normally I would say Money Please, but he's very independent. I think he'd be like, I'd like to make Toxic Avenger 5 now, please.
Here's your money, Lloyd.
Well, I think Mortal Kombat would be one he'd be willing to license it to because it is an R-rated.
And it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I think he would, as long as he thought he'd get more exposure and they didn't treat him badly,
mm-hmm.
he'd probably go for it.
All right.
But I think Toxic Avenger would be a cool idea.
Like, yeah, I think that's actually a really, really inspired idea.
He uses his mop.
If you just have him the turtles fighting Superman and Toxie.
Well, just think about the fatalities. It could be like, you know, him like pulling...
Well, what would Toxie's super move be?
His super move?
Yeah. And remember, this is Injustice, so no fatalities, but he does get a wicked damaging super move.
Yeah. Well, he can't pull it.
Take him to Tromaville?
It would be... Yeah, it would take you to Tromaville. I think he would shove his mop down your throat. Lift you up in the air and drop you into a vat of toxic waste.
That would be pretty badass, actually.
And then he would clean it up. Like, he'd clean it up after.
As Melvin.
Yeah.
That would be pretty legit. All right, Tristan, who do you got?
I'm not really a weeboo, but for some reason I keep thinking of anime characters here.
And
how they would fit in. Like the classic Goku, of course, from Dragon Ball.
Then we can finally settle Goku versus Superman once and for all.
There's just a lot of questions that could be answered right there. Alucard from the Hellsing series.
Good call.
The super move basically just takes you into that darkness that is Alucard. Just eyes everywhere, everything's black, and it's terrifying. The third, for some reason, I thought the bride from Kill Bill.
That would be rather cool.
I don't know what the super move could be, because you can't do fatalities, because there's an easy fatality
and the crazy 88 just attack you.
It's just pull the eye out. No, I was thinking along the lines of anime. What's the guy from Fist of the North Star where he's like...
Kenshiro or whatever?
And he gets to do that million things. only the head doesn't explode this time.
That One Punch Man.
That would be another good one, actually. For myself, if I had... Power Rangers is obviously a big pick, but let's presume Power Rangers is one character. Rorschach from The Watchmen.
If it's Power Rangers, it's Tommy.
Yes, it's if I can only have one Power Ranger, it's Tommy, alternating green and white, basically two separate outfits. I would take Rorschach from The Watchmen and the Comedian, because I think they're both unique in fighting style. They'd be really, really, really friggin' badass.
Do they have Hellboy already?
Yes.
Okay.
But if I could get another Hellboy character in there, Abe Sapien. Would be kind of a fun one.
I'm thinking Swamp Thing.
He's already in the game.
Fuck me.
You need to play.
Good idea.
Good idea. Done.
Well, that's a game I need to play.
What about Animal Man?
At all, so.
No, but he wouldn't be a bad kind of call.
The morphing, he could just morph into a bunch of animals and attack you.
Yeah, or like Beast Boy. I know Starfire's in it, but I think Beast Boy in that world is dead.
Because obviously you can't do anything Marvel related.
No, although if you could cross over one character, it would either be Spider-Man or
Deadpool,
yeah. Maybe Wolverine. Right.
Deadpool would jump in. Cable would be okay, too.
Cable would be pretty badass.
I'm trying to think who the... I'm trying to think if there's anybody else in the DC Vertigo universe. Like, you can't really do Sandman. You can't really do...
Spectre. But that's basically, hi, you're God.
Yeah.
The Question might be kind of fun.
I'm trying to think of what other properties they have the license to currently.
I'm thinking here. I was surprised they Spawn.
That's not them.
Ninja Turtles.
That's Image, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's Batman and Spawn have teamed up.
Wait, that's IDW. They've got Ninja Turtles is IDW. IDW has Star Trek.
The Borg?
Captain Kirk. I'm thinking of Worf. Or just, no.
Every battle defines you. Superman versus Worf.
What else do they have there? They've got, IDW has a lot of other licenses.
G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes.
G.I. Joe, just The Rock. Just The Rock. And not Dwayne Johnson. He's like 1999, the people's champion. The Rock. It would probably play better than any 2K game. I don't want to get into that.
This is quickly turning into that old Flash animation, The Ultimate Showdown.
The Ultimate Destiny.
Oh, Mr. Rogers.
Well, yeah, well, clearly, Chuck fucking Norris.
No, Mr. Rogers wins. Spoiler alert for a Flash animation from 12 years ago.
What else? Okay, we have to talk about the other big elephant in the room this week.
Hey, yes, I'm right here.
We can't spell elephant without EA.
That's right, and that's...
They have they have upset the gaming community at large.
I think Angry Joe said it best. You done fucked up, son.
I personally have never seen quite...
A backpedal?
Quite a significant come together of the community in really, really disliking what EA has done with the Star Wars Battlefront 2 property. Reddit has set new records for the total number of downvotes on a single post based on the community manager's...
Which is hilarious.
400,000. It crashed the mobile UI.
It is now over 600,000 downvotes. For comparison, previously to this post, the most number of downvotes recorded on one single post on Reddit.com was around 24,000. So this is 600,000 more votes saying that this is a bad thing.
We're talking in magnitudes of percentages.
Yeah, it's a massive... I've never seen this and many people come together on one single post.
And remember, people say that's not a lot, but you got to remember... If
the internet's a big place to piss off.
No, but not just that. If you're gauging market engagement on this, let's just say it's 1% of people that would be upset are upset with it there. You're looking at potentially 40 to 50, maybe even more, million people that won't buy it.
Yeah, this is a significant event. And for anyone who doesn't know exactly why the community is upset, it's based off of Star Wars Battlefront 2's progression system and loot boxes and microtransactions being taken to a severe level.
Yeah, basically, for example, somebody cracked the math on this, and for you want to unlock a character. Now, since we've recorded this, some of this has changed, so I'll update as I talk.
Not a ton.
For you to unlock Darth Vader... it would cost you 60,000 credits. That has now been reduced by 75% to only cost you 15,000 credits. However, that number also has changed how many credits you're earning per match. So the math is still a little bit, as Alex may say, fucky.
It's more than a little fucky. It's become this whole games as a service thing that they're doing. What they're trying to do is turn home consoles into mobile games.
Well, yeah.
But still make you pay $80 for the game.
Well, yeah.
You paid $80 for this game, and then someone did some very rudimentary math on how much effort it would take in-game to earn these characters. And to play Darth Vader for the first time in this game, you would have to play for at least 40 hours to unlock him.
Yeah.
For a game that you have already paid $80
this
to
is
play.
Not...
And it sucks, too, because when you first beat the game, you would get a crate that would give you 20,000 credits. Guess how much that same crate now gives you?
5,000.
5,000 credits, which is enough to unlock one hero, which is the lead character of the game. I can't remember her name, but...
Yeah, and when you think about it, it's this is not a Final Fantasy. This is not a Skyrim. This is not a game where there's 100 hours of story content.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a game that will... Honestly, you are not going to have people... Be honest, most people won't play this game more than 20 hours.
Yeah, because it's... It's built upon you putting in time into it, which that's not the casual player. And it doesn't matter how fun this game is, because even casual players, for example, casual players love Overwatch. You think they're going to put in 20 hours a week? No. Maybe a month, maybe.
No, I played the beta for this game, and the actual gameplay is fun, but not fun enough to keep me playing for the 40 hours it's going
to
take
to unlock one hero. And that's not even promising you that you'll get enough battle points during a match
exactly
to buy Luke Skywalker or Darth.
And at the same time, in that 40 hours, I'm not able to buy anything else, any upgrades, any of these other cards that'll improve my ability to play the game, because I'm saving up for that major character coming up later. Which is another major point of the problem that is the design of this game, is these star cards and other loot box-based progression system. It's the dumbest idea I've seen in these types of games before. You can't guarantee that the character classes that you want to play are going to be high enough level to really stay competitive in what you're doing, because it's all based on luck. If you get 10 loot boxes or whatever and everything just goes to the scout class, but you want to play the assault class, well, too bad.
Yeah, you're kind of hosed. Like I have EA access, and as of this recording, I'm going to play through the game probably over the next day or two, and I'll give you my thoughts on next week's show. The official release is on Friday. And I'm not optimistic. Mind you, I'm playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 for the story. Because I love the campaign mode in both games. I thought they were quite good. Except last year's, which had nothing. But I digress. I don't know. The fact that EA was backpedaling so quickly, and DICE was able to backpedal so quickly, this is a PR disaster. A magnitude EA has not seen since Mass Effect.
No, to add this, a little this to is the fire. No, Mass Effect is nothing compared to this. Because... this is tied into them making all their patents. They basically want to make themselves into a casino.
Yeah.
Where you just keep pumping money in for nothing.
Doesn't EA own Bejeweled or Candy Crush?
Yes. They own the company that makes that stuff. PopCap. Not only that, this is the biggest scandal, biggest disaster they've had since EA...
Since Mass Effect.
No, since what was it, EA and Trip Hawkins tried to make the 3DO?
To add a little bit of fuel to this fire, today the refund button for the Star Wars Battlefront 2 game was removed from the webpage to make it more challenging for users who want to get a refund to get a refund.
Yep,
the only option they were left with was the phone, which had a more than hour-long wait time to
get the refund process. So they're going to get chargebacks on credit cards from Visa and that, people saying that they got their money stolen from them by this company.
Oh, yeah.
People were posting workarounds as fast as they could to try to direct link to that refund page so you don't have to go through the EA website. They were being shut down as well just because they're trying to run damage control, I suppose. In the meantime,
it's
worse.
Which, it's funny, like, watching this from a PR perspective, this is something that even Disney itself is going to have to take a look at. This could even be potentially damaging to The Last Jedi, in a sense, because there's so much bad will at Star Wars, just the name right now.
Yeah, the association now with Star Wars and EA, there's a negative connotation there. Disney owns Star Wars. Disney doesn't want to be recognized as the company that's
ruining
supporting
Star Wars.
This game.
Could
this
shut down DICE?
No. DICE, because they still have the Battlefront franchise. they are still very successful with
it. But I want to see what happens next year when they release another game.
Well, here's the thing. They already shut down one. They already shut down the Star Wars game that Visceral was already working on.
Which was a single player focused game. When I say shut down DICE, I mean if Disney wants to break their contract over this, over them providing a product that ruins their image. Because that'll be in their contract that they can't release something that is disparaging or damaging to the franchise and image.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's hard to determine that, but this was a game built by committee. This was a game that was, okay, we heard your complaints from the first game, cool. All they said was, okay, we're going to put a single player in this. How do we maximize this game as a service? Like
it's
you said.
It's a casino.
Yeah, it's a casino. Which is really unfortunate.
There is no sense of progression that you can rely on. Everything is luck-based, so there is no element of proper progression. Everything
and you're only earning maybe 300 credits a match.
Yeah, just keep pulling the lever over and over again. Play a match, pull the lever. Play a match, pull the lever.
So I'm almost wondering if this is going to be a... we're going to see a trickle effect where they're going to start shutting down studios that were working on similar games.
They did already.
No, I mean across the board from not just them.
I'm wondering if this will be a turning point in the loot box craze that's happened over the last few years. Is this going to be a wake-up call for users and maybe force a shift in the industry? At the same time, the entire concept of loot boxes is not really reliant on the community at large. Its success is based off of what they call whales. Which is just basically 1%.
Where did that term come from?
1/10 of 1%.
Who coined that term? Oh yeah, Vegas.
Yeah, 1% or less than 1% of the users that spend an exorbitant amount of money on these titles.
Well, there was one guy. He was I can't remember the name of the developer, but he was speaking from Mass Effect 3. He pointed out to one instance in Mass Effect 3 where one person has spent $15,000. On those Spectre packs.
I didn't know there was enough stuff in...
There's not. Yeah. You're addicted to it. That's the problem.
Well, if you want to max out every gun in that game, it's going to cost you well over $1,000. And I got lucky because whenever I used to get a lot of my Microsoft points provided to me free of charge, or I do a lot of trade credit, or I was very creative with how I traded things in at Blockbuster. And over time, I collected quite an armory. I could have sold that army for at least $2,000 or $3,000.
But in a sense, nuts. It's just a singular game. It's over and it's done with. Like I don't understand.
It's yearly cycle. Yeah, that's the same problem with COD when when Advanced Warfare by Sledgehammer, the same people who developed this year's World War II, introduced supply drops. It introduced stat affecting weapons. The problem with Battlefront is now it is essentially pay to win, because as you said when like you were talking about this, you may have a higher competitive edge than me.
Exactly.
Because your character may be stronger. Yeah.
Those star cards, they'll give you benefits like a faster reload time, or your abilities recharge faster, or you do more damage flat out.
Yeah, like it's very, very difficult for us to basically kind of balance this. And it sucks that EA has now forced the gaming industry to go like this, because now Call of Duty is now firmly in this cycle because there were supply drops in Advanced Warfare. Infinite Warfare did things a little bit better where you could earn things or you could destroy duplicates to build the guns you want, or there were challenges where you could just buy the guns. Black Ops 3 had it. World War 2's got it. Need for Speed's got loot boxes now. Why the hell are there loot boxes in Need for Speed? Of all the things. I don't get it.
Like, what does it get you? Like, gas station dick pills that make you go faster?
It gets you, like, exhaust parts or parts for your car, which I guess it makes sense, but...
I can see the model there, but at the same time, it's invading every single genre that exists.
You put a loot box in Overwatch, I get a skin, I get some gold where I can buy what I want. Or I can sell my duplicates, which get me gold anyway.
It's entirely cosmetic. It's the basic model of loot boxes, and I'm fine with that because it doesn't affect me or anyone else
playing in a significant way. I don't have a problem with pay to win when it's a single player game.
Yeah, that's
like an RPG where it's like, I want to gain 20 levels, I'll pay $2 because I don't have 20 hours to play.
Yeah. Like,
you're affecting your personal story. You're not affecting everybody else.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I just want to have a good time in my single-player game. When I'm online, we are all the same. And you look at other titles that have taken microtransactions too far. You look at something like NBA 2K18 this past year, which where you have to get microtransactions to even get new tattoos and hairstyles. I haven't taken a look at the microtransactions in, like, say, in WWE 2K18. There's not that many from what I can tell.
Yeah.
But you can pay the $20 and unlock everything. That's okay. Previous DICE games, like we were talking about Battlefield, here, $40, here's all your kit unlocked for X amount of guns. Cool. I don't have 40 hours, but I do have $40. And for you to pay $1 per hour, if that's what your time is worth to you, cool.
That's my basic buying. When I buy an RPG, like a Final Fantasy,
$1 per hour,
I don't have a problem paying $80 because I'm generally going to play between 40 and 80 hours.
Yeah.
$1.50 per hour. That is my thing. If I get more out of it, like, say, a Dragon Age Origins, I got 300 hours because I did 3 full campaigns and I was sucked in. That's a super value for me. But I don't buy a game for $80 if I'm only going to get 10 to 20 hours of play out of it, period. I will wait until it's dirt cheap.
Yeah. Exactly. And I don't know. I mean, I have a moral quandary with this, in a sense, because I really want to love this Star Wars game because it looks cool.
Well. It's a very attractive game. It plays well. It looks good.
It's the game we should have got 2 years ago.
It's not, because 2 years ago people would have been even more mad.
Yeah, 2 years ago it would have been completely unheard of, and everyone would have immediately seen all the problems with this system. And people have been kind of numbed to it now, so it wasn't as obvious.
Well, it's funny just to see how loot crates and microtransactions have seeped themselves into our games. They've just become a part of our background.
I didn't notice them, because I, again, mostly play single-player RPGs. Or the multiplayer games I play are local multiplayer. I don't really play online.
It wasn't until Mass Effect 3 that I noticed.
I noticed a little bit of Mass Effect 3. I paid maybe $20. I paid like $30 or $40 in Andromeda, and it didn't make the game any more fun.
See, where I paid a shit ton of money for Mass Effect 3, and I have me, Tiffany from Terrible Warriors, and a bunch of other guys. We used to play online every Sunday, 4 hours, and we'd go hardcore for like easily 6 months. I got my money's worth.
So you got in that one game.
In Advanced Warfare, I played that every single night for 2 or 3 hours, and I was dominant. I kicked ass at it. It was worth it. But I spent a lot of money. Money I didn't have. Money I shouldn't have spent. Black Ops 3, I backed off significantly. Infinite Warfare, didn't spend a dollar. Not going to spend a dollar for World War II.
No.
It's not worth it to me. And it's taken me this many years and games and cycles to see this problem now in gaming. And unfortunately, you're going to have to vote with your wallet. Mm-hmm. And the only way EA is going to listen is if those Battlefield 2 numbers are shit. If this game, guarantee it's going to be number one on the sales chart this week. Which sucks.
Yeah, it's
because look at the precedent set.
No matter how many pre-orders are canceled, the game is still going to sell very well. It just, that's what's going to happen.
But
it's
the game will sell well. What will show them is if nobody buys the loot boxes.
Yeah, if the loot boxes don't sell through and the DLC, the inevitable DLC and seasons passes,
supposedly
have low numbers.
Supposedly the DLC and the maps are free. But if the microtransactions don't pan out, they'll backpedal.
If that's the case,
it.
You know what I'll do? I'll wait till it's $20 to get everything.
Yeah, wait for the Game of the Year edition. That's the way for.
And then you buy.
Just play the single player.
Well, not even Game of the Year. You wait till Game of the Year comes out and it gets discounted at like Black Friday or Boxing Day to like $29, and then spend $30 to unlock the extra stuff that you can't get, and then you got the full game for $40-$50.
Shout out to the Patient Gamers subreddit.
Yeah.
Take a visit there, get a whole bunch of ideas for how to save money on games by waiting for them to become cheaper later, or get better deals on them by waiting for deluxe editions and everything to come out.
You may be 6 months to a year behind.
But you're paying.
But you're clearing out your backlog.
Yeah.
Really can't complain there. And speaking of things to not complain about, it's time to go, guys.
It is. Can I say one last thing?
You can say one last thing.
This one's for Blanchard. Looks like that Viper TV show is getting the DVD release. Finally. I know they've been talking about it a bit here and there, but I saw box art for it. So
you're officially hype?
Yes. us nerdy 90s terrible television viewers.
So
we're all set. Yay!
So hopefully today you guys have learned something about a little bit of insight into us and how we feel. And if you walk away from anything from this episode is, don't be a piece of shit. Be a good person. But when you do make a mistake, own up to it. Take responsibility for it and hopefully grow from it. Don't buy loot boxes.
Don't buy loot boxes.
Don't be swayed by the gambling addiction.
Exactly.
And watch old Canadian TV.
Vote with your wallet, man. And of course, go check out, I think it's Encore. Alex, you'll put a link in the show notes.
I shall put a link in the show notes.
And subscribe to this, because we'd love to see what you people think of some of the things that we take for granted up here in Canada. But hopefully you will enjoy some of the shows that we enjoyed growing up on, such as it was. So for This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network, we have been...
Alex.
Mr. Christopher.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live free or die hard. But this week especially... be good to each other, and we'll catch you guys next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
It's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.